So just before we start, any apologies for agenda item number one? First of all, and just going to make a few ceremonies remarks. So, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this, our first neighborhood services committee meeting. Give a special welcome to our new members here tonight, especially those recently elected for the first time. We'll all be working together and maintaining the important services we provide to all the residents of our district. And if we can improve or enhance in any way what we do, we will certainly look at that. Can I wish our outgoing chair, Councillor Tracy, well, and congratulate him on his new role as chair of council. I would also like to beforehand thank all the officers for their good work and dedication, and especially to our director role. I trust we all have an enjoyable year together. Enjoy your treat provided, and hopefully that will keep you sweet tonight. We'll now work through the agenda. Okay, thank you. Okay, are there any declarations of interest? Conflicts of interest?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay. No recorded. Okay. Then our action sheet. With a committee meeting held Wednesday, 20th March 2019. Copies attached there, and Kevin's going to. I would just review that for accuracy, and any matters arising out of it, and if there's nothing, we'll take a proposal and second it. Liz?
Chair, yes, we maintain quite a number. I don't have the number, I don't have the record, but yes, we have a database of all that we maintain. It's usually coming into the towns and villages is that grass verge as you're coming through, also some of the roundabouts. So, you know, we've previously carried some costings of that. I think we're maybe spending that last time we measured it, we're in about $100,000 on maintaining sort of DFI land. And we don't get any funding back from DFI. We used to get funding for that, but we no longer get that funding. But yes, we maintain quite a significant source of DFI property coming into towns and villages.
Okay. Anyone else?
Sure. Well, I guess on the same item in regards to the grass verges, and you know, obviously the weather and that, you know, they're considerably it probably is worthwhile looking at, you know, maybe when this is a target scheme we're talking about in regards to this, a sponsored sort of scheme. I think it's worth looking at the interest of biodiversity that we should maybe be looking at weight loss. You know, to instead of using our resources to start cutting these verges, we should be improving the biodiversity and habitats.
I agree with you there, Councillor Carter. I know that some areas as well. You can do really well. Yeah. All right.
Thanks very much, Chair. I do concur with the previous speakers. I know whenever I was over with that Sea Parks, in fact, the sections of parks in England that were let go away with the natural habitat and wildflowers and everything, and even in some cases along the verges of roads. I know some people raised concerns about the verges being overgrown, but some of the local authorities in England and Wales and what I've seen were keen advocates of natural and wild habitat, etc. So just to point you about that.
I'll just go in and look at that and bring up some of that to clear the future.
Could maybe have a proposer and seconder then for accuracy? Okay. We'll move on then to item four. And that's to agree a start time for neighborhood services. I mean, most politicians, committee meetings, and council present are starting at 5. I know this suits a lot of people, and that was what we're going through right here to see. We had a pre-meeting today at 5, and we're just wondering if you'd be interested in maybe bringing this on the line starting at 5. So.
Chairperson, I would like to make a proposal that we maintain the meetings at the 5th and 10th or 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. planning? Yep. Okay. We'll take a talk then, let's go. No other proposals from all Hoppet? Scott? Okay. Item number five, the budget plan,
Thank you, Chair. The details of the business plan are presented in the front of the members. I suppose there's two key appendices there. There's the review of the business plan from the 18-19 appendix 1, which focuses on the three actions, and then the business plan for your consideration as detailed in appendix 2. The new business plan is obviously aligned to your corporate plan and your other corporate priorities. So it's for members' consideration, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Carmen, could you maybe put your mic on just for the purposes of the tips? Thank you.
If you meet the intent of the healthy plan, do you think it would be really good and I would be open for
We're visiting at this point, it's open during July this summer.
Really?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can we look over on Saturday, please?
Happy to propose, Chair, but just going to ask the senior team of the targets that we're on. We have them. Are there any ones that are of particular concern to the management team that they would worry that will they be resolved this time next year, for example, or is it available to be in the same situation?
The status and the update, probably related more to resources. Could we now and resolve them that in terms of getting structures in place? Certainly, officers here would anticipate that that will be done in the next number of months. So, any action that we've carried forward to this new business plan, we've been busy that those would get addressed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any
Just on the to the set of the council response, a landmark for anyone, is that a plan to consider that response?
That's
from head of the decision. It's for the Paxton. It's a complication response. Are we doing our own or are we then an act of our own?
Yeah, we're still on the response. Yeah.
Was that item 4? Alright. Item 5. No problem. Alright. Okay. Captain, if you're moving on the second area, thank you. Thank you, Chris Salinas. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Move on to item number 6 then. It's the Neighborhood Services Working Group. Thank you, Rose.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Promise this report is received from the approval on the updated Neighbourhood Services Working Group in terms of reference. The terms of reference have been updated merely to reflect the new name of the committee and that the appointments should come from the Neighbourhood Services Committee on an annual basis. Nominations are also sought from the elected members on this committee for the position detail within the terms of reference. We're also seeking approval for the action sheet on the last meeting on the 20th of March on Appendix 2 and to agree a date for the next meeting on the 17th of September prior to this next committee meeting. Chair.
Can I question just down then on our own response or are we now in the
next one? Sorry, Karen.
No, on the business.
On your response.
So on the business call?
On the budget.
Action
sheet?
Sorry, on the action sheet.
Yeah. No, sure. That specific action in the last action sheet refers to the consultations which are coming up later on the agenda. The last council chair, you will recall, agreed that R21 would compile a response on behalf of this council. We provided an opportunity for the party groupings to feed into that. And what we're bringing back tonight is for you to note the response that was submitted on this council's behalf by Park County One. But we can pick that up later on the agenda.
Yes, perfect. Thank
you. So we can maybe have a proposer then, and Sandra, for Ed Sext.
Be proposed.
We'll take that as a second. Oscar and Bloom there, and Karen,
over to you. This report is for noting. The council has been involved in Oscar and Bloom for several years now, and this year we're submitting 80 entries. This is a competition that's organised through TransLink and NOGA. It's a competition that seeks to instil local pride, create awareness within the local community in terms of environment and biodiversity issues, and to encourage that sort of cross-community participation between the council and other groups within these areas that are involved in for all ages and abilities. The council entries this year include Newry City, the towns of Warren Point, Downpatrick, Newcastle, Ballinahill, Pinch, and the villages of Bessbrook, Crossford Lane, Stainfield, Craffawell, Killyleagh, Crossgar, Dundrum, Killock, Strangford, Pluck, Bransford, Ansburgh, and Burn. The judging itself takes place at some stage between July and August when two judges will come down into those different areas. We don't know when they'll come, but they will call, and they'll look at the village or the towns and the cities under those three different headings, the environment, the biodiversity and the horticulture display that's within those areas. As part of the council submission this year, for the first time we have submitted a portfolio. And as attached to Appendix 1, I provide a copy of that for you. And it's just to make the judges aware of the sorts of different things that the council is involved in throughout the council area. Within the directorate, and it's also within the business plan, we flag this as something that we want to get more involved in, both in terms of Ulster and Blue, but also Tidy Towns, because we see these as good platforms for the council to become more involved and integrating with the local community, forming partnerships with the local community so the council and the local communities can work together to improve their own local environments. So it's a key plan we have going forward in terms of our neighbourhoods transformation project. So that's why we place those within the business plan, so that they're there and that we can increase our involvement. I mean, our portfolio at the moment is very generalistic. But as we move forward over the next period of time, over the next number of years, we would hope to begin to be a bit more detailed in terms of what's happening in each of the individual towns and villages. Some towns and villages are already actively involved in it. So, for instance, one town in particular that engages in this each year is Stainfield, and they have their own committee. And their own committee will meet regularly to see what can be done within their own area to improve it. They'll come to the council to see how the council can work with them in that, and we try our best to do that. So it's about expanding that, and this is just maybe the start of that for ourselves, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank
you, Chair. And just at one time across the Glen did very well in that competition under the old council, under the yearly and more than the council. But ever from the new council come in, the weak point we had in that whole competition was the council was pulled back. The old council provided, over the community centre and across the old council provided tiny baskets and the display of flowers and all that to the front of the community centre. They had a number of tiers that they took in and had in the square that they planted out. The new council removed them. The Crawford Glen Community Association have come aboard doing great work, meeting with the council on a regular basis with the clean up on the cutting of grass and maintenance of the square. But the whole weak point and I want to be fairness, the whole weak point in Crawford Glen of these competitions is the council. You know, so if we're going to try and take communities on board, we have to work with communities. And the one community that stood out to work with this council was Crawford Glen Community Association. And they didn't get fair play or support from this council. So it's great putting in reports and talking about, but the reality on the ground of backing it up, it isn't happening, and it's very disappointing. As I say, we come runners up in that competition 1 year, but it was under the old council, and where they actually got involved in that. Going across the ground today, there's absolutely nothing can to get the few tankers that we have is growing over sitting on tankers. You know, so how would we be on 11th playing field with the rest of the area? So if we're going to enter the towns or villages in a competition, be fair to them all, do them all at the same time, put the same effort into them, because the effort's coming from Cross and Down Community Association, but it's certainly not coming from this council.
Sure, I don't disagree with a lot of what the councillor has said, and this is why we're putting this on as a paper. We do recognise this as a vehicle going forward, but I think it has already been said earlier on about within the previous question we had about resources. Each of the departments have to live within the resources, and I suppose it's trying to be a bit more imaginative in terms of how we're able to work with the local communities in order to try and improve their own areas. So it's not just about what the council is doing, but what the local community can do as well in partnership with ourselves. We have a lot to do in that area, but we have a commitment to move forward on that basis.
Just to come back on that, and say that the community is doing their part, and you can see from the projects they've done within Cross and then the projects that have gone down the square. And it's all about resources. I totally understand that. But we went into this larger council, and we want to better services. We want to have a bit more facilities than ever met. So we have to plan up. But certainly the rural areas are here, not in Forest.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Harold McKee.
I take it that these towns and villages are going to be rotated, or if the eight full towns and villages are chosen how you'll be sort of adding to them as the time goes on, or when you bring in new towns and villages, because if that's the case, I would like to see either Kilkeel or RLM town or village brought into the next round.
We're not limited, Chair, in terms of the number of entities that are placed into it. There's no fee for the application, but I suppose it's what we can realistically achieve. But yes, I would agree that a town like Kilkeel is somewhere where it should be considered for future entry. And we have recently been working with the local Chamber of Trade in terms of the number of initiatives out there, and it's certainly the Chamber of Trade seems to be an organisation that is keen to do a lot of work within the local Kilkeel area.
Is it a case of an application, or just something the council can decide themselves?
Sure, the council can submit whatever entries it chooses to do, but it's being realistic and determining, you know, which are likely to achieve best within the competition itself. And again, come back to the resource issue that we have. You know, if you put in a lot of towns and villages and you want to give support to each and every one of them, then that is a draw on resources. So, I think it's something that we look at as part of the Neighbourhood Service Transformation Project itself, in terms of how we're currently allocating our resources. And if it's deemed that this is an area where we need to improve upon and the council agrees upon that, then if the resources follow that, then I can see us achieving much better in relation to those both those competitions, the Tidy Towns and the Ulster and Bloom. And from the Ulster and Bloom there's the opportunity then to extend into the Britain and Bloom, which Newcastle was successful in a couple of years ago.
First of all, I'd like to thank Kevin for this report. I think it's actually the absolute top of the hour, because it's actually showcasing our district, you know, with the judges, so it's the Ulster and Bloom, you know. And Kevin, you did mention the example of St. Fields, you know, as councillor in the Welland, we work along St. Fields with St. Fields Development Association, and they're a team of volunteers who want to collaborate and do their utmost for St. Fields, you know, and enhance it. And even across town with a community group, there's actually the local activist, Paul Tiger. He does a lot of work along with working his own part of the community association. A lot of communities do that, and I know how we have come in releasing those council support. And as I say, it is important that it should be a track approach, but I know the emphasis has changed over the past 5 years, that it's become more it's community-led and the council are there to help communities, and maybe there are issues or our concerns, you know, this is an opportunity to raise them, but apart from that, sir, I'd like to wish every applicant who submitted to the Ulster and Bloom, I wish them all the best of luck in the world, and I hope that we do bring back plenty of awards to nearly more of the obstacles in the coming months. But again, welcome to the portfolio. I think it's innovative and it will act as a benchmark and a showcase for us. And if there's more towns and villages that will come on board, well, we should encourage them as best as we can to do that, and let's get the place going. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Taylor and then Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Certainly, you know, I also welcome the report, and I would certainly welcome a strengthened partnership between council and local community organisations in respect of issues like this. Certainly, in urban competitions like Ulster and Bloom, it gives communities that increased encouragement to take, you know, more civic pride in the place that they live. I know, for instance, in Desperate, you know, Desperate Development Company take it upon themselves to purchase flowers to put around different places in the village. In fact, I've been staying with water some of those flowers. So, I haven't had to do much really because they're in the first thing, but you know, but certainly it's something that we all play our part in the things like this take place. And anything that the council can do and should do to help and assist groups to potentially win or at least even, you know, improve the area that we live in, it's certainly welcome, and I hope that we can move forward in a positive light after this report is adopted tonight, because it would be important for everybody, I think, if that is the case.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Chuck the best way into the lab.
Thanks very much, Chair. I think it's a positive report, and from my own point of view, I think it's very important that, you know, all sectors involved, the private sector, the public sector, and the voluntary sector, obviously, schools, community groups. The weakness is very, sorry, but it's our weakness for council. I think every area is probably different. You know, you probably have a greater community capacity, you could have a greater business capacity. But there's no doubt that resources are stretched, council resources are stretched, and particularly when it comes to the bedding plants when they're planted up. You know, there's a lot of work goes into getting them beds ready. And then another, you know, resources are taken away from the said last cut and other areas, you know. So it's something we probably are trying to tackle it through the neighbourhood service transformation, you know, where we have dedicated resources in the DEAs tackling all these issues, because North Carolina or whatever, we're looking at whatever competition we're looking at, it's about better, you know, it's about graffiti. You know, it's about the work that, for example, in the report, the scale of Christmas trees, they're all good initiatives, but we're not winning anything unless we get all these factors involved and ensure that the capacity there to formulate the groups, basically. You know, I think there's a good appetite there. I can feel around that there's appetite, people want to get involved. And I know there's grants available for different groups to improve their neighbourhoods, but I just think the formalised groups, and maybe through the DEA structures, might be the opportunity to do that, start formalising groups. Because all the fairs are in the DEAs, and also maybe pulling that together and getting them more formalised and moving forward. I think it's important to empower the communities and moving forward, and what we touched on in regards to in Britain and Bloom, Newcastle got Silver Award, Silver Guild. What let us down was that business type sector. You know, and that, there was a lot of voluntary capacity and a lot of community groups, but everybody needs to get work. Because, see, when you're in that competition, see the amount of work that's going into it, it's absolutely massive. You know, as soon as the one competition is over, they start the next one. You know, and I think that's what we have to aspire to. We're not going to do it overnight. But I think it's, again, looking at the wild flowers initiative, building on the delicious project, where we're improving the habitats for pollinators. You know, we can build on that. But also looking at perennials, you know, maybe replacing some of the bedding plants with perennials, where they're more cost effective, but maybe not as labor intensive. I think we maybe need to look at that as well. But all on for planting trees, more trees and more orchards and all that, and herb gardens, you know, there's great capacity there, but we have to empower the communities as well.
Thank you for your comments, Councillor Clark. Councillor Thomas?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So the objective, Chair, eventually has to be to roll this out throughout the district. 18 towns and villages here, but I haven't heard yet the rationale as to how those towns or villages were picked. Now, don't want to tone away those here, Gavin, but somebody from your village or has been ringing me and said, well, let's just see that they're on there. I read about that in the paper, why were we not considered for that? I'm not sure what to tell them. I know it's the resources issue and we can't be everywhere, but the objective should be everywhere, eventually. And Councillor Clark has made some very telling contributions there in relation to what to put in the longer term. I think it's crucial to get community day in as well. And even if it was the case where instead of council officials, this may be an option, instead of council officials doing the planting, doing the maintenance, doing the up and after, that there's actually money provided to the community associations to do these things themselves. And in relation to the competitions, as Councillor Clark was saying, some of these places take this thing very, very seriously. So that actually could be, the more you spread it, the more thinly it becomes, the more towns and villages you try to roll it out to. So if you're going to sort of go hammer and tong to try and win these competitions, it may actually require you to go in reverse gear and concentrate in just a couple of areas. So it's trying to get that balance. Everybody wants their village and their town looking beautiful, and everybody wants to be able to see that they're being treated equally by the council. But to get the destination, it has to be a beginning. So I congratulate the officer for all the things.
Historically, I think the towns were picked and we've continued with them. I think recently we added the village of Burn to it because of what was happening within there in that village green area. I think one of the positive things we get from this is that we will get a report from the two judges after they do the visit to the towns and villages. And we'll pick the different categories that are important to them and will give us the positive and the negative feedback in terms of how they found the place. And I think we can learn from that. We haven't made best use of that in the past, but I think we have to start to make better use of that. This as well is a 12-month thing. It's not a couple of months before the competition, but it's filling that within the communities and establishing those links. We've recently, as part of the restructuring, we've recently recruited someone who's going to be our grounds maintenance manager. He's coming from a very strong horticultural background. And one of the key tasks that we will see for him is establishing those links with those local communities. We also have a very experienced biodiversity officer within the council who does fantastic work. We see very close partnerships working between her and the grounds maintenance manager to work with the local groups to get encouragement within the local communities so that they're able to do much, much more. There is funding out there. The council has its own funding through Live Here, Love Here. So there are other funding sources which the officers can advise the local communities of and work with them in order to try and improve these things. But it is, as I say, a 12-month project all year round to establish that. And that's where we're trying to head with this thing.
Thank you. They were looking at a couple of years cycle there, so the missions are all over here.
Mr. Chairman, I think one of the issues with particularly hanging baskets, but also probably includes where some of the planters would be placed, some footpath, whatever, ensuring would be quite an issue with some of our groups. I should take it that if the council is behind it, they would look after the insurance element of it. The other thing I'm just thinking there, I don't know where you purchase your bed and plants or whatever. I'm quite sure that's an expensive thing, getting them through commercial sources. Just thinking that we have a number of community organizations out now. This might raise a more stimulus to grow growers to try and part of the existence. Maybe to look at supporting some of our community groups to do that type of thing, just to get a few grand to make it and at a cheaper cost, but people who sit.
Sure. In relation to that, you know, we would be required to go through the council's procurement procedures to do that. Now, we do spend significant amounts on both winter and bedding plant each year, where we spend something somewhere between £25,000 to £26,000 on the winter and summer bedding plants that we go out. But if, you know, this idea of working with some of the local charities and communities has been raised before. It is something that we can discuss with our procurement section to see whether there is some scope within the policy to include that as, if not the whole of it, but include it as part of it.
Are you going to propose that?
Sure, I'm happy to propose. I suppose I don't want the committee to be negative. There's a lot of good work going on, and we'll have to recognise that good work, and particularly the staff on the ground. You know, they are stretched, as Frank said, they're stretched, you know, but they do a hell of a good job, you know, but it has to be recognised.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a second?
Yeah,
thank you. Okay, we'll move on then to the next item. That's item 8, Christmas illumination terms of reference. So, Kevin will make a comment on the really long proposal and second that we accept these terms of reference.
Yes, sure. The report is for decision. In the previous term of the council, we set up this council's Christmas and illumination celebration group. And it was set up to agree a 3 to 5 year programme of how the council will help local communities across the district celebrate Christmas. One of the main projects that arose from that was the idea of planting real Christmas trees so that we could move away from the purchase each year of cut Christmas trees. We purchase something like 28 cut Christmas trees each year. It's getting harder and harder to get good trees. But it's also, there's a sustainability element in that. You know, if we can grow them, then they become a focal point within local communities. So the councillors have requested for a continuation of that group, but the existing terms of reference no longer apply. They were for a short-term period that the group was set up. So we have revised the terms of reference. They're attached to Appendix 1. And it's not really putting a time frame on this group. It's sort of saying that this group is going to meet over well, I made it out here. We'll meet as required during the term of the council to agree the council's evolving programme of how council will help communities across the district celebrate Christmas. So, Chair, we're asking that the committee would approve the revised terms of reference.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly, first name.
Yeah, Councillor, the last term council chair, I just want to say it's one of the best initiatives and rolled out by the council, by the former RTS department. People were unsure at the start, and now they're queuing up to be part of it. And that was always the ultimate objective, so well done. And you have a proposal second there, haven't you?
Proposal,
council. Second.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor
Taylor,
what did you think? Thanks, yeah. So just to say, I echo Councillor Taylor's remarks. It has been a real success story for the council. As Councillor Taylor says, the community has really bought into it. They were slightly unsure at the start, but they've seen that what can be achieved. You know, particularly the community groups that participated last time, yeah, came to our working group and were full of praise for the process and full of praise for the officers who were involved in it, and found it a really rewarding experience. So long may I continue.
Thank you very much. And move on then to item 9, public convenience.
Sure, this report is for decision. The council has an agreed capital budget of £1.2 million. To improve its public conveniences across the district. We reported last on this to the committee in February, and today's report is just by way of an update on action we've taken since that. We have employed the British Toilet Association. A gentleman from that organisation is working with us to try and give us his experience in terms of of how he finds our own toilets. Himself and his female assistant have visited all our public toilets, the 31 across the district, and at different times just to see how they're being used and what sort of condition they're in. And what he's reporting to us is whilst most of the units were functioning, some displayed significant signs of repeated antisocial behaviour and damage to the fabric of the buildings themselves. His survey also highlighted in a previous survey we carried out ourselves, highlighted a number of faulty or missing equipment, and we've recently spent somewhere in the region of about £12,000 on parts to replenish some of that equipment within the older stock within the Down District Council, or the old Down District Council area. The other thing we committed to do was we committed, as part of this committee, to establish a working group, an interdepartmental working group, and that group has met. It consisted of officers from the tourism side, the leisure side, the community service side, environmental health as well. Those departments were represented, and we discussed the whole general public convenience provision we had right across the district, and what they thought was good, what they thought was bad, the opening hours, all sorts of issues we looked at. Now, what we've also committed to do is to work again with our friends from BTA, and we're going to develop a strategy in terms of the different sorts of aspects that can be part of the public convenience service that we as a council provide. So it may not just be the 31 PCs that we have across the district, it could be all things we bring it in. So we're going to bring that together in one document to bring back to yourselves in around about the late summer, autumn of this year, to get your feel on that. The only thing we want to do, and it's the decision we want from yourselves today, is the public's opinion on this is important too, is very important, but it's how we engage with the public in relation to this, when we engage with the public, and we're saying to you, or looking for permission for us to start a process with engaging with the public about this as well. Now, my colleague from the head of facilities, Gail Kane, met today with some officers who had been involved in previous consultations, and it's their advice that the way we would take this forward would be we'd meet with at each of the DEAs coming August, September, whenever the next meet, and present them with the information that we currently have. And then from that and the strategy that we bring back to yourselves, we can then form some sort of public consultation exercise from that. So we want to go to the public with something solid about what we're talking about rather than just going out and asking what they think. So that's what we're asking for approval from yourselves today.
Thank you so much, Justin. I do welcome this report. It's a very in-depth one, so I'm going to work to say that it is to be welcomed, because the fact is years ago the old Down Legacy Council had invested money and it was refurbished and replacing it really
twice. So I think realistically we need to, I think it's a roadmap now to get this project on board to upgrade and to replace and facilities, which have started to become worn and jaded, and I've seen better days, and I think at this stage it is important that we do this is a roadmap for the future, and appropriate and replacement, and I think what else we need to secure permanent investments to replace facilities throughout the terms of the district. So I will propose that we do go ahead with the recommendations that the officers have tabled in the paper. Thank you very much.
Councillor Clark?
So I'm happy to second the proposal, but then second it, we are at this piece of work for a considerable piece of time. This is a couple of summers now we're at this piece of work, and I'm just conscious. I appreciate the strategic approach of the cross-departmental approach. I think that's sensible, and certainly 1.2 million is important we get this right across the district. And I think it's important to look at the change of business patterns and look at, you know, the vision of people with the autism and the cleansing needs or the needs, toilet needs that they have. I think that's important. All them aspects are very important. But I'm speaking of Newcastle, the public convenience of the Newcastle are in the very first year, and we're going into another summer, and they continually break down. They're continually closed, there's continual negativity in regards to them, particularly at busy periods, you know. I'm just conscious that, you know, we do need to move on in this. You know, we need to start, you know, improving these facilities, because all you need is one or a couple of negative pieces of publicity on social media, and it's very, very damaging to our product, our tourism product. Never mind our local people who are using facilities beside playgrounds. You know, so it's, I'm happy with the approach, but we need to start our action, and I think the resources are going to be put in place, the personnel, now to start delivering on this project. But I'm happy enough to say.
Councillor Harder?
Thank you, Chairman. I don't want to be like William E. Crockett on your own area, that, but we have been lobbying for a number of years about the facilities in La Crosse. You know, it's a small unit in a terrible state, and there was an issue there even with the open hours of it. But it's great these reports and everything else, but do a wee bit of common sense of our way of taking a look around them and see what needs to be done. You know, we've been an awful lot in reports after reports after reports, and it's just out of common sense. You know, you go out and you see the state of the facility, you see that it's being used and that it needs to be renovated or something done. It won't take a lot of money, but say it's a small unit, but it's the only amenity we have within that area. And unfortunately, if these locks are closed and broke down at different times, and there's such a huge number of used lab profession and all the facilities, but there's families live on up through it, you know, and many times they look out and they see people, you know, going at the back of the house or whatever else, because the house is either broken or closed or that, and that shouldn't be happening at this day and age. We've got a common sense.
Yeah, just to feed into I was going to come to the ES, but just this point, the long standing issue of lack of provision at this end of the Erie City Centre in Bolton Street, which is, you know, arguably the region of certainly it's not second, but the joint first in terms of the Erie's main shopping. Does it have reasonable provision at the market on one end of the street? But there's been nothing since the county old council sold out the car park at Railway Avenue. And that must be nearly 20 years ago. And then some has been raised over the older years that, you know, anybody who's shopping has to go into you know, the private business. So it is something I do think we need to look at. It's a new Monmouth Street has been neglected in this area for a long, long time. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor.
Yes, Chair, I'm glad to see the Councillor and the Park are coming together. That's obviously been a problem in Chilkeen to have that one unit, very good to get it to close. But I get quite a lot from people before the Councillor from some of our staff who have to deal with situations where damage done to doors, what have you, then they cover the doors and the shutters, and now the shutters are getting damaged. So it seems to be quite vulnerable. I think maybe we're back again to maybe looking at these cameras that were one time were there, so people know there's no cameras there, so it certainly doesn't help the situation, and this damage goes on, and no one is accountable for it. And obviously, as council, we're there to split the bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Move on to item 10 then, the canal project. Back to Gavin. Okay.
Is it on the floor, is it?
No.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Chair. We reported on this previously in March, so this report is for a decision. In the last time we reported, this is to do with a section of drainage at Newry Canal in around Lock Gate 5, which is close to the Tandagee Road. And there will be photographs in the Appendix 1. You can see the report we provided previously that shows photographs of flooding that area and around that roundabout. And we've been in consultation with the Rivers Agency and two other landowners. The Rivers Agency are identifying issues in terms of drainage, and they believe that for the three landowners, one of which is ourselves, to carry out drainage works to improve that, to reduce the risk of that flooding happening again. Initially, our officers are working with the other two landowners and with the Rivers Agency, and we've come up with a figure that we felt that our contribution would have been around about £10,000, and you approved that. Further work has been done. We've also been, since that time, been in consultation with NIA. The Uri Canal is a scheduled structure, and they, NIR, make a specific requirements in terms of how part of that work needs to be carried out, and that is increasing the cost. So we now believe that our contribution is going to be £15,000, not £10,000, and we're bringing it back to yourselves just to advise you of that, and just to seek your approval for that increased cost, which will be borne out of the council maintenance budget.
Yeah, sure. The work needs to be done, I think. So as you know, it's the canal, this whole path, a big part of our tourist infrastructure, so we're happy for those two things.
Sure, let's add it and happy the second. I think it's clear that work needs to be done. We don't have any other option. As Gary says, it's a very important thing. And that for us, we need to be done for this, so happy the second, that proposal.
Okay, thank you very much, move on then to item 11, and that's at the fact of law at Simmer River, Newcastle, which you've seen the pictures of, it's good as highlighted, it's been getting the danger state, so ask Karen, really, give us the update on that.
Well, as you say, Chair, you said, Chair, we have provided photographs of the cracks within the wall, and it stretches about 15 metres along the wall. We've engaged a structural engineer to look at the issue for us, and it's his initial determination that what's happening is that the soil behind the wall, the water table is rising, the soil is expanding, the pressure then from that is pushing the wall across its own foundation, which is causing the crack in the wall. So the solution to this, he's going to bring up some proposals with us, but it sounds like we'd be trying to construct another wall in behind that and then take away the old wall. So there could be significant costs involved in this, and we're hoping as well that the engineer's report will give us some sort of idea of what sort of time frame we're dealing with, whether this will be need to be done under an emergency basis or not. So it is for noting, but officers would intend proceeding as best they can in terms of trying to resolve this problem as quickly as possible. In the meantime, we've fenced that area off just to stop people from gathering around that particular area, sir.
Okay.
I can just suggest that, depending on the outcome of the engineer's recommendations, if also do need to move quickly, we take the approval from this committee to do so, and do so under the emergency laws.
I propose we do that, because probably time is of the essence. But it seems to be a pattern, because on the other side of the bridge, where the library is, there's a pet wall there also, and it's actually fallen into the shoulder of it also. So we may need to contact the library in regards to that also. There seems to be a pattern right there on that side.
Okay, Harold?
Yes, I'd have it for setting up a proposal. Obviously that there's the mod side of the river, I think. Obviously that would be a bit complicated to do, to dig out that wall on behind, because there's a lot of different structures in behind there for part of the promenade.
Just been there, so hopefully a cheap job, sort of, I'm sure, but it's certainly something that needs to be done, because obviously it's moving and hides and everything, and the fact that that must even the back wall. Okay. Appreciate that, and it is something that's been there for a long time, so it is
too. Yeah, thank you, Chair. Members, the purpose of this report is to provide you with a summary of recent improvements that we've made to the communications activities of the Refuge Collection Service, in particular specific changes to the collection calendar, which has just been issued, but also to the online postcode search facility. And why we're doing that is, one, we wanted essentially to improve the overall customer experience of our residents in terms of that particular service. With respect to the collection calendars, I think I've obtained a sample of what they look like, and hopefully all of you have received your collection calendar through the post. If not, it will not be too far away. But it covers the period from the 1st of April to the 31st of March next year. And I suppose a couple of things to highlight to you. What we've done through significant preparatory work with officers in the department is essentially arrive at a situation where we can now specify the specific collection day on the legacy Newry and Mourne side. That was never the case before. It was able to do that on the legacy Down side, so essentially we're providing an equitable service. What I will also say to you is that out of the 74,000 households who will receive the fee, we completed about 95% of that, so that equates to about 70,000. There are 4,000 households remaining, and they will be done in the next couple of weeks. Why have we not sent those out now? Well, they fall into two camps. One, there are issues where the collection for a blue or brown bin are not on the same day of the week as a black bin, and if they're specified in the report, and they equate to about 2,000 households. In addition to that, there are a number of properties which are deemed under construction, as the LPS database would suggest, but we know that there are people in those households and they're paying rates and we're providing them the service. So we've had to separate those out and essentially deal with those as a job lot. But I can assure members we will get those out to those remaining households in the next couple of weeks. The other thing I want to point out to you, Chair, is the online postcode search facility. Again, this was a significant difference between the two legacy councils. We now have a live on the system as we speak, an opportunity for those residents who have already received those collection calendars to go on and type in their postcode, and it'll provide an electronic copy of their collection calendar. So in the event that households lose or for whatever reason can't locate their hard copy, there is an added facility to access online and give that real time information to residents. Sir, maybe just to ask you to note that, what we will be doing, we're still in a wee bit of validation around the online postcode search facility, but what we'd like to do is a PR launch around that through social media once we're comfortable as officers that has been fully validated. So I can maybe just note that I'd like to bring forward some future improvements, particularly around how we deal with requests for service and complaints coming into the department, but also, I suppose, getting on the front foot with regards to advising our residents where we encounter problems around our refuse collection, which is beyond our control, like, for example, closures of roads by utilities and things like that. I think the primary aim is to just improve the level of communication that comes from the department. So, Chair, happy to take any comments or questions. Maybe just members to move that, please.
Thanks,
Councillor
Andrews, and then Councillor Kim.
Thanks very much. First of all, I would like to welcome the report. I know it was an action. Some of the points that you left, but Johnny, were from actions at the table that the previous neighbourhood services working group. And it's good to see a lot of that coming to the fore. You know, as I say, communications are the key, because we learned lessons from holiday times and Christmas periods and all, and due to the fact that I welcome the efforts that we've made to put a lot more stuff online, and with the harmonisation of those legacy areas. I know you have issues with Bally Ward and a lot of things, but I know they'll be dealt with. But again, I must say, with the overall picture here, it's a good news story, and I think it's, I know it's a little wee bit late, but a lot of hard work has been done, and it's, you know, information is key, and again, there's a lot of all involved for the hard work and put it all together.
Thank you.
Yes, it's a really good addition. I am thinking for myself, there's weeks I don't know what I'm putting into, I've got my neighbours, but no, it's really more common than anything, I suppose. Particularly some of the area I cover, like Barcroft, there are sometimes the difficulties with third street. So it was really good to come in. I would say directly with the likes of Martin, Peter, and that, and the fantastic. I initiated a couple of weeks ago and it was dealt with, and, you know, within that day. So it's really good to, in addition to this, I think that service that the staff of the Biden is second to none, and it should be commended.
Can we have a proposal to Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, just in the cinema. Sorry, you haven't proposed a second application there, but just in the cinema, then, with Councillor Gibbons, it's kind of important because it was the week before the election, and there was an issue of events weren't lifted, and I have to say, officers come back, and it's sort of looking at very, very quickly.
It's very useful, the communication is the key. The items to put in the blue bin, very, very useful for people. Even I had requests in regards to, do you take the lids up the bottles and stuff like that? So, you know, that clarity is very useful. The issue with, you know, breakdowns, delays, road closures, again, it's key that information getting on social media. Now, the department is giving that to councillors, and I appreciate them updates because then we can put them on our social media, but it'd be useful for them just to take the next step and put them on our social media. No, but we're on it.
We've got a proposal inside there, haven't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. We've got one more by the first one. Some action plan.
Yeah, thank you. Again, members, this is really for your approval around developing a series of interdependent actions to support basically improvements around how we enforce as a council in respect of lightcapping, lettering and downpouring. And I suppose that the primary purpose of this is really to develop a much more coordinated response both with departments in the council, but also with a lot of other stakeholders outside, the other local community, other agencies like the NIEA. And I suppose that's the main primary thing that I'm dependent. I've broken the initiatives down into what I consider a short-term, medium-term, longer-term actions. And what I'm asking for council agreement today is really, one, in the first instance, to agree the report of the workshop that we held, a very successful workshop with some of you and other elected members on the 22nd of March this year, which really then fed into this action plan, and then really to authorise officials to work up the initiatives as listed. So I'm not asking you to approve the plan, I'm asking you to give me authority to work up the initiatives, and then we bring those back to you on a case-by-case basis, which provides you with more detail. I don't go through the detail share of the plan, but I don't know how you can take any comments or questions.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Chair. First of all, I want to report that I know a lot of characters in the room here would be lobbied or contacted by very much by outside members of the public about dog training and about the problems that are associated with it. And I'm only too happy to propose it, but go ahead from today with what's set out in the paper. But I think that to me with a long term objective, and first of all, based on the record, appreciation to our enforcement team who are working talently to combat the problem, maybe small numbers, but I think we have to do a good job. But I think long term, what we need to factor in over the next 4 years as council into the race is getting, I always go on about frontline officers, good frontline services, but I think we need to sit down and look at the bigger picture of over the next 4 years of this council, securing funding for more enforcement officers, and also in other areas such as refuse collection and street cleaning, and maybe that's for another area. But I do, and another thing too, set up from one of our workshops or we're working with people, is we need to engage in education, you know, plus we need to, I think education is the key, maybe in our private schools, the schools to, and I think that's where it all begins, is because the children will go home and say, mums and dads, this is what we learned in school today, and shouldn't be doing this or doing that, but I think education is the key. There's a two-pronged approach. There's over the term of the council, there's more funding, more resources, and also the fact that it's embarking on an education strategy to combat this problem. I'm proposing on the board here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, I'm having a second. I'm similar to Ms. Terry, and I had a conversation after the meeting about this. We do some great work in education, and it is really important that we keep doing that, but it's like the enforcement has to be there. Raising this, and I get some of the cars will just come out and clean an area, and steps in the area, that are really good job, and back in perfectly a good job. And my two is there's somebody had thrown fast food products all around the thing. But it really takes one individual to take a whole look at an area. So that enforcement has been heard me say that in the report. It was like, there was a sore room after, remember, before the law, you get fined for not wearing a seatbelt. Nobody wears seatbelts. The first day I came in, everybody wears seatbelts, you get fined. The enforcement has to be there. So we've got to keep it going. I think we would all acknowledge the discussion that we have worked to do in that area is really the public sector.
Sharon, again, the action plan, I think the workshop was extremely informative, very, very useful for members and officers as well. And I think we touched on nearly everything in regards to, you know, the cleansing and dog grooming. They're even talking about sniper rifles as well. And everybody's looking for a rifle to take the dogs out. I think it, we touched on everything, and working our way through it, and if we can implement the majority of these things, these items in the improvement plan, we've been going a long way to improving the issue of dog food and litter. In regards to enforcement, I agree, we do need enforcement. Maybe you get an idea of the numbers, if you have them, in regards to enforcement officer. I mean, that also marketing, we continually have to be marketing, telling the public what we're doing all the time, in regards to our educators. I agree with that as well. But I think it's going to be some work.
Councillor McKee?
Chairman, obviously, looking at the workshop,
enforcement is difficult to enforce the seagulls. There are many fish here along the coast, and if the wind are full, the seagulls and other birds will pull the rubbish out. So I know Newcastle has trial bins with closed bins, and I think certain that needs rolled out. I said if we can get that going, they're obviously going to be more expensive, but we've had several discussions around that locally about the birds putting the waste, and I think we put up on Facebook all the time, it's always a country club that they're not picked up. People, with the goodness of their heart, do pick that up, because obviously these birds are out at night, they don't do people's around, so that's okay, so the litter's gathered. One of the other issues I've often upset here before, I think, when I was here, but apparently it couldn't be imposed, but I would like to look at it. The difficulty in the Delft Ireland is always, oh, it's never mind Ireland or whatever, but I'm always trying hard, officers can't be there all the time, people want to go. But I think we should look at preempting. I think anyone who has a dove and a leaf should also have them on a leaf, but those that have them on a leaf, if an officer walks up to that person and asks them, have you any means of connecting your dove waste? And the chaps are put out, oh no, I haven't come out without it. That's an instant fine, because they left home with no intention of picking up their food. And I think if they need you once imposed, it shouldn't need anything from Stormont to tell you. But that's a simple one. I think our council should have got to take that forward. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, I can come back. There's a couple of issues there. In terms of resources, I currently have 4 full-time enforcement officers to cover the entire district, and that is supplemented by essentially seasonal staff, equating this maybe over one post. Cards and payroll, I don't think that's enough to be enforcing the amount of issues that we encounter, and it's no accident that I do not know I'm here top of the table in terms of the fixed family notices, have more staff, but I've also supplemented that with essentially private sector capacity. What I am looking to do, Chair, is do some other things. Yes, we will be moving forward in a workforce plan, which will identify what we feel would be an appropriate resource level in terms of enforcement officers. Clearly, that would be a 4-year agreement. But we're also looking at other initiatives, like, for example, extending the powers to issue fixed penalty notices to other council officers. So essentially, we're supplementing our capacity to actually improve the issuing of those fixed penalty notices. In terms of litter, the types of bins, Chair, on the improvement plan, we are looking to bring forward a litter bin provision policy. I'm not really looking at the types of bins. We are aware of issues of not having closed tops, which then creates issues in terms of seagulls and other birds and other activity and other animals. In terms of dogs, unfortunately, we don't have the legs of the forest, Chair, to undertake the proposal from Councillor McKay. That said, we are working with the NIEA to fully understand what powers we do have available in terms of our legislation. But equally, as part of our dog trialing strategy, we are working with a series of partners to promote responsible dog ownership. So that goes back to the education thing, which underpins a lot of this action plan. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Simon.
I have a proposal of Sackler.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Just a wee comment on that. So my the link of this year, the dog fair particularly is the bane of this and many other councils. We're making efforts in so many other areas to improve the district, for visitors and residents alike. And I'm always an advocate of prevention is better than that respective action. So I was shocked when I was out through my own DEA over the election period at the amount of villages and towns, hamlets, that there's not a bin in sight. Neither a waste bin nor a dog ferrying bin. No. So in the middle of the tunnel and all, Johnny, so I let you away here, I'm not going to give you any figures, but when that work's complete, I'll gladly send it your way. But I'm glad to hear that you've recognised that that was one of the shortcomings that's going to be addressed. So it's a very comprehensive report. I wasn't at the workshop, but if we're able to roll out half of this over the next 12 months, it would be excellent for you to work. Well done.
Thank you.
to date on the public proposed environment, so we can move on then to item 14. Do you have operations of household recycling centres?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Again, this is another area where we've been working very closely with elected members in the last mandate. And again, we've had a series of workshops with elected representatives in terms of what we're proposing to do in terms of changing policy governing the access and usage of all of our household recycling centres. So really coming out of those discussions, we're bringing forward tonight a series of guiding principles which cover those broad policies. I'm not asking for you to agree to the policies to be finalised tonight. What I'm asking you is to send you the sense check with the committee and allow me then to go away and finalise these policies and bring them back then in August. And really, in terms of the broad area that they cover, is around general access and usage. It also sets out how we propose to deal with construction and DIY materials that comes into our household recycling centres, the whole issue of commercial waste, and also how we might begin to support reuse. There's also, Chair, outlined in the paper, a proposed permit system for both domestic and commercial users, particularly where farms are operated, because that will, one, will allow us to better control access into those household recycling centres, but also to deter unauthorised use of those household recycling centres by commercial operators. So, look, Chair, I don't propose to go into detail again, it's in the paper. Happy to take comments or questions, but in terms of the decisions, I'm seeking to say, really, your support for the guiding principles, but also in terms of your approval to apply these principles to the opening of the new Downpatrick Household Recycling Centre, which the Director confirmed we're aiming towards the middle of July. What I would say in respect of that new Household Recycling Centre is, yeah, we will apply these principles, but we will allow for a period of grace until the Council finalises the new suite of policies, which again, as I mentioned, was August. That is proposed to allow users of that specific household recycling centre to adjust to the policy environment. I think from my perspective, as a manager, it makes sense if we're opening a modern state-of-the-art facility, but we try as best to secure new emissions from day one. I think it'll be harder to change once it opens. So, Chair, look, happy to bring it comes to questions, but maybe ask the members' support for those two decisions, please.
Thank you, Councillor McCarver. Thanks, and I'll give you the floor too, but just a bit of on to the council policy. If this was not for residents for the traffic input that comes with having a recycling centre on the road that they live on, a lot of them do be quite rural. Can I ask that if we looked into it, that if the roads around them in the 3 mile radius, they split a pick every month? If you go back to reports of illicit dumping that you've probably received, you probably find that most of them are within a mile or less of where the recycling centre is located. I myself have lived in the Chapel Road one in Murray, and quite often I go and pick the stuff up myself. Also, there was a problem that we had when I sat in this chair back in 2005, and it's still there, and then I would go to the fixing along that road once a month. I know a lot of community groups do it, so, but it's unsightly when you're going across an area where there's rubbish lines. Most of it is because people are throwing out their car windows or whatever, but when there's recent centre right beside them, people tend to blame it, so I appreciate that.
Thank you. First of all, John, I'd like to thank you very much for sending the paper and supporting it. I attend basically a waste management scholarship through OPSI in Manchester, and I must say that the subject of the equivalent of household recycling centres was discussed. There was an officer over from Doncaster. He made a presentation on how they operate the household recycling centres, and very much a question of permits. And I know a number of our tenants will have issues with what the category fans, cars, whatever, but Doncaster, they went one step ahead. They actually had a chart with photographs of cars, vehicles, fans, and cycles. And I know that those presentations will be on the FC website shortly, so maybe what you can do is contact Wayne Priestley. He's the officer that deals with waste management, but there was a very interesting presentation
on the waste management strategy, but maybe I can make a suggestion that at some future stage, I don't know where to turn, but at the next waste management, maybe we send one of our officers over to see at first hand how the English guys from those local authorities operate. And even, as I said, there's a competition on clubs and different councils, so that the entries, I must say, I was very impressed with the standard of entries in the next buildings and other councils and local authorities. But I would highly recommend that if you look at some of the packages that our counterparts and on the mainland operate, because I find it always very educational. So I do welcome you to that.
Councillor
Stokes? Yeah,
I was contacted a couple of weeks ago, but just raising the limit on rubble that we have, and the local resident who's just playing in his garden, and I know the house is here, it's not that big, the limit we have is 25 kilograms, which doesn't sound like a whole lot. So I wonder, could we have
a lot of foot?
Could we have
it? It's a lot of
foot. I think you're right. So it's a small garden in a house in Bray. So I think I need to have another look at that. I mean, that's nobody, do a whole bit of work in. And, of course, the thought is cancer again, the flag for so I do think we should have a look at that. Plus, and it was Catherine McCann just mentioning as well that we need to look at people do. There's people who have, as part of the family business, have a van or whatever, or have access to it. We might, not everybody who turns up with a van is necessarily working as business. They can be doing sharing it at their own house as well. So we think it's something that we just for taking into consideration. Thanks, John.
Councillor
Harder?
Thank you, Chair. I totally back with what Gary's saying there, like the 25 kgs are all but it's a joke. And access on the acres. I even see one there, and I want to encourage people to use these. Not to dump the stuff on the side of the road. We're dealing with this stuff dumped out on the side of the road. And what we need to be doing is making it easy and trying to get people into to use our samples. But I see there even on the construction DIY material, restriction to the maximum of 4 doors per household per annum. However, we manage that. If someone comes into the door, we take the registration of their car and we mark them off. But normally, just for instance, just pick that one out. I hope there's someone there you can pick, but normally someone changes the doors in the house and fix the doors. The might do it only every 10 years or 20 years or 40 years out. But if you change the door, it's normally 60 out of 10 doors in the house, not 4. But what do you do then? We go with 4 this year and we come back with around the left hand once we left them out in the garden and then we come with them with other 4. Where is the common sense? It's back to, I've read these reports out there, it's just down to common sense. How does that change the house of all? It's not the people that walk down these things and stuff are still going to be taking a number of their car and writing down and making a case of coming by four over the year. It's not practical, it's not common sense. And just get out of the reports and just go back to common sense and we run this council more.
Thank you, Councillor Harlan, Councillor McKee.
Just on the bill of Councillor Chavez said there about the waste litter and that, and on the set of rules, I just think of probably at least within half a mile, even on the part of the jog road that just came there where the community center is. And funny, just in Quinton's yesterday, a man of mine said who lives on that road that it's whenever the hedge cutters come out and cut back grass that throws the litter on the road. You don't actually see the litter, but it's in there. It's so annoying. And she said one of the times that was done, her and her son took a wheelie bin down the road. And they took the wheelie bin 3 times. Now you're not supposed to dump even the wheelie bin into the community centre, but take it that's where they ended up going with it 3 times. So it's really something that needs to look at. So whether it's because people have a load of waste on their cellars and it's blowing up, it must be an element of that. Surely that's not all in the store houses or under their jars. our analysis must be looked at, making sure that there's no litter flowing from the immediate site. It may be an element of that as well.
Okay.
Can I
thank you for calling? So,
general
proposal
and silence?
Chair, do
you want to come back to that? Yeah, of course. Yeah. Chair, again, there's a couple of issues. In terms of litter pick around house recycling centres, that is something that I'm happy to look at. I imagine a lot of those areas are already on cleansing schedules, but I'll double check. Okay. In terms of rubble, Chair, we are only permitted to take up to a maximum of 25 kilos of rubble. I appreciate that that may appear to be a small amount, but the license that we have for the social recycling centres does not permit that. Over 25 kilos of rubble is classed as industrial waste. Now, we certainly can explore the NIA the scopes of increasing that. My understanding is that where you do change licences, if you're allowed, it is very expensive. So that's something, again, we can check and come back. In terms of the permit system, we have built in chair the closed permit for both commercial and domestic use, where vehicles are loaned or hired, what we call a single use permit, a facility whereby people can essentially avail of the facility if it is their own vehicle. They just need to demonstrate that it is to that. So we feel there's enough safeguard in place. But again, we're finalising the policy. Maybe I can pick up the elected members outside of this forum. There's an opportunity to bring greater clarity around that. And then in terms of doors, I note the comments, and we look at the possibility of increasing that to make it more flexible and easier to reflect a higher number.
Sure, that's it. Maybe a proposer and seconder, please.
Thank you. Councillor Flan, first.
I'm having a proposal. The point that members are making, and Councillor Hardy's making, is a bit of common sense. If somebody's doing a bathroom or they're doing a kitchen, you know, it's to accommodate that. And to ensure, I suppose it's a balance, you don't want it abused also. And I think it is being abused currently in some of the sites where, you know, household recycling centers. It's all in the name. You know, and when households arrive, they can't get their materials recycled because everything is filled up. You know, so it's about, as I said, it's about being pragmatic, but it's also to make sure that these work for the householder, for the parent, people who pay them the money. But if there's that degree of flexibility, then I think this can work. I welcome the permit scheme also, because I was contacted by people who did run a business. They were gathering as a man in a van or a woman in a van, where they were coming and taking away people's materials for recycling. So it's about accommodating the law, and it's about a common sense approach. And it's important that these work.
Thank you, and thank you for your proposal, Councillor Clark. Second, maybe Councillor Holly, are you still on there?
No, Chair, I can't second that.
That's okay.
No.
I just
think you're
late.
No, sorry. So I put the second.
Okay. I've got a second there. Thanks, Sir Clark. Thank you.
Okay. Just a bit of clarity. Well, we went to workshops, these. As I understand it, these are already being implemented in a number of recyclers in the newly in. This is for the dairy side, that these proposals have been made. Is that correct?
Just to be absolutely clear, sir, the majority of this is correct. It is being implemented in Legacy, Newry and Mourne. And you're right, the primary purpose of this is to standardise what we do across the entire district, particularly with the Legacy Down District Council Household Recycling Centre site. However, there are further changes being proposed as part of those policies.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on now to item 15, council takes responses to extended producer responsibility for packaging.
Thank you, Chair. This was the issue that we picked up in the briefing beforehand. In terms of three major pieces of consultation that were undertaken by the UK government, which comes together, have the potential to do significantly impact upon local government essentially operations. So there are three pieces that this council responded to through ART 21. And we've appended the responses that ART21 submitted on behalf of this council and the other parish councils who make our committee one. Maybe, Chair, just to draw your attention to one specific element of that consultation, which was essentially the producer responsibility scheme. As Roland mentioned earlier, this is potentially a game changer. What essentially we are seeing coming down the line potentially is essentially you have issues around the producers now being responsible potentially for actually the collection and disposal of the waste that they produce as part of their manufacturing. Now it's essentially there's two options that fall out of that. One is that the organisations who produce this waste actually set up their own arrangements and then collect it themselves and process themselves. Or what we hear is the other option is maybe more attractive to them is that they essentially make funding available, which would be in considerable sums of money, to local authorities to collect it on their behalf. However, we suspect that may change your decision-making responsibilities because they might remove some of the local decision-making in terms of how that they were done. Essentially, they're putting the money in, they want to get the best return, so they might look to get consistency across sub-regional or regional levels. We don't have the details yet. This is essentially a starter for 10 from the UK government. We've put in the response on behalf of our 21. What we've been told is that there'll be more detailed consultations come out as those potential policies are translated into legislation. Which are the details in the response, if you want to add for comments, Roland. But happy to take any comments or questions, that's just for the leadership.
Okay, are there any comments?
Yeah, I suppose, I mean, arguably one of the biggest issues in business is being the human waste. Sure, I mean, the amount of plastic and we just can't, the waste we're producing, you know, we go back a century, I mean, we just weren't producing any of that stuff, and now everywhere you look, and it's not just, you know, the way from we get Bulgaria there, and just, you know, everywhere you go, it's not just here, or straight here, throughout the world, in many different ways, we're just leaving a huge disastrous legacy for our children and adults, and we just can't go on like that. But I know it's early days, but I'll start to see the end of the day, work on the literature.
Thank you.
Thanks. Just be afraid of introducing the plastic tax. I would just be afraid of introducing the plastic tax or something. It's left very loose. And that scares me a wee bit because some things can slip past your eyes very quick when things are loose like that. So I think we need to have more involvement in the consultation process, and I'm trying to do it now at the beginning of it, so I'm not sure how to go about that, but use the professional, so take your guidance on that.
Okay,
thanks very much. This is a very interesting topic. I know that recently in Scotland, the process of introducing what we used to have as kids when you grew up with the brought a deposit return scheme, whereas if you bought it, say for example, you bought a plastic bottle of Lucozade, the fact is you may pay 20 pence on top of each bottle, but what the onus is on you, if you bring the bottle back to the shop, you're only paying for it. So, I think a lot of the deposit return schemes are seem to be a big thing to combat the problems that we have with plastics. So I think it's coming out of the same in Scotland, so maybe through time we can have a form of it here, but I know it's a worldwide problem, and I know a lot of governments are putting pressure on the big companies that the soft drink manufacturers and beer and alcohol as well, about the fact that we're making the blade of plastic in today's society.
Thank you all for your comments. Good morning, proposer and seconder for moving. Roland, thank you.
Sir, do you maybe want to come back about future consultation and about the plastic fact? Yes, Chair, I suppose with FCS is that it's just seen as an income generator for our treasury, and now that FCS then is not being deployed back into the issue for which the income was delayed. But again, go back to the point of the earlier, Chair, that we have been advised that DEFRA, who are leading on this essentially agenda, will be bringing forward more consultation, which will allow us to see more detailed responses into that process.
Okay, thank you for that. Move on now to item 16, yeah. Sustainability and Climate Change Forum. It's attached there's
for an open as well.
Just for approval.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Paper set out the draft term directions from the new sustainability climate change forum, which is an amalgamation of three previous council forums in the last Campbell Council, which are all interrelated and it's about the climate issues that are facing. The set of the reference are detailed in the appendix and are also considered through AHP on Monday night because it is a cross-council issue. It's not just specific to one directed. So we appreciate a proposer and seconder for that.
So proposed and our nomination will fall through the final.
Thanks, Chair. Sure. The biggest catastrophe facing mankind is this whole sustainability thing, unless you live in Trondheim. And to give it the respect, this forum the respect it deserves, I'm not so sure we have the naval breadth right here in the numbers. We're replacing three and four that would have a minimum of seven councillors in each of those four. And we're now suggesting that three times the workload can be undertaken by the same amount of people. So I would like to propose, Chair, that we double the allocation that has been recommended there. Just to reflect the fact that this is going to be a 4-year thing. It's a statement of intent on the part of the council that this is an issue that we need to take very seriously on behalf of citizens of this district. Thank you. Is this joint up with Act of Inhabited Communities, or is the mayor in the method, are you able to increase that way, or what is it? Well, what I can see is this terms of reference, as presented this evening, was considered through party reps, so the party leaders of you, this party reps, agreed that this was the way forward, that both committees would consider it. It was considered by the AHP on Monday night and they approved it. So it's up to this committee to agree or not to what is presented.
Sure, as the directors were, us we independents were kicked off the party reps. So I wasn't aware of what was discussed at it, so that information wouldn't be fed back to us. But if I get a second, I'm happy enough to let the proposal stay.
Okay, we'll open it to the floor then for a second.
Sure, I don't mind the proposal. You know, if people have a genuine interest in climate change and tackling climate change, then they should get involved. But the last thing you want to do is increase numbers then people don't bother turning up. You know, because I've seen that before. You know, but there's a genuine willingness, you know, to, you know, stick with it and work together and work constructively for us all to work together on this topic, then I don't have a problem with increasing the number. You know, but we all need to work collectively for the greater goal.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to be trying to say this, so we're going to be happy to use, but what's all the list for them that can be used? Well, I'm not sure that any of the careful they have, you know, and where do you end up then? I think we need to check that before you proceed with anything. This is in your case, you have a question to committees and booking lists, I'm fairly certain of it, and your makeup is detailed within that, at least check that, I'm fairly certain it is, which says that your membership and detail within the appendix. So we need to, if the council decision is to change that, then we need to go back and change that also.
Excuse me, through the chair, can I ask, say like for these working groups, so are they on the minute path or not? Because of that, because the same practice if we're on the minute path and the non-members who grapple with the contribution to make, I know the basis of the way the committee's work is that non-committee members can come along and make larger contributions at the meetings, but maybe that's another option to be looked at as well, that could be on the minute path, which means that all customers could see that the same example that working group is first on for a particular date and time of the outcome undoubtedly will be the whole bar.
Sure, I have said I think we need clarification on this before. My main concern is that they're not acting as part of the committee forms, so they look like general rooms where you do. So it's not, we don't understand, but like, Jonathan and others will have a very passionate view on it, and they should be able to complicate them. Just, I think it's a big chest on it.
Can I suggest to members that officers go in and look at this and come back to determine what the council decision is and the council should consider thereafter, what the makeup should be?
Sure, I'll say it all, man. Listen, I don't want to get into a spot here with the numbers. I'm only trying to emphasize the importance of this issue. And my bona fides are 100% genuine. You know, that's like Councillor Clark realizes exactly what I'm over here. And so I don't want to get into a spot, but all we need to watch is just to open up Pandora's box. And you know what? If that is the case, I would withdraw the proposal. This is something that I particularly am very, very passionate about, as I hope the whole council collectively are.
Sorry, I'm not questioning it. I'm just going to say, actually, it's sort of weak. So it feels like you're very passionate about it.
Yeah.
I'm not doubting that. But what I'm saying is, for anything in council, you just have to make sure by increasing numbers on one form, does it allow you then. It's reality on it, it's not an attempt to stifle membership or anything else.
Through the surety of it, by virtue of the fact that it's an overlap between two directors, it's fairly unique in itself. So I would suggest that this issue will not raise.
I'm not saying that.
Okay, I appreciate your calls, I appreciate your respect for it, sir. Please, if we take it away and have another look at it before we make a decision tonight, is that okay? Do you help me with
that? Or it could be proposed and second what's on the table this evening, and then as an addition to that, certainly, if there's an add-on to the committee, we could do that rather than anything. Do you know what I mean? And for officers from back to yes, we can add on and what the report, because as you say, it rightly says, Roman is already going to active and healthy community on the still have to go to full time, so that would give people the time. And I agree with you in the meantime, but that there's a validation information comes back there, validation information.
I could say that, but I don't want to ignore Jarrah's concerns.
Thanks, Chair. I take on board with Councillor McCabe to say it, so if there's any chance the officers could have that information in time for the July meeting. I mean, as been pointed out, this is only we only make recommendations to these groups, so we'll have to bring it up before the council again with the information on.
We don't want to bring this to the full council and then have a spat over the numbers. Because I think we're doing a disservice to the community. You know, this is a very important issue, sustainable and climate change. We had this over the notice motion, where there was a lot of negativity in regards to the climate change motion. And I think that's wrong, because it is doing a disservice. So I don't want to have that. It's just too important of an issue to start that party politics. And if we can get agreement before that council meeting, then so be it. I think it's a better for us all.
So you're proposing that they accept what's there at the moment? And that way?
As long as it is, I don't want to leave any member here either. So, I mean, so as long as the information can come back for an additional member to come on, I mean, there's no point in delaying it because we're going on from what we've got to take and then
and so
the officers
fair.
Know that
they
have to get validation information
and
back to
the council
attendee.
And that's fair. Okay. Councillor Henley, have we not? So
we've
got
time.
We're happy with the recommendation on the paper and we're going to look at Councillor Henley's concerns and see if he's satisfied.
Yeah, just the same thing would happen about half an hour ago when I was elected. Just taking waste, working with my
And there were other aspects that we looked at.
Temporary closure of Bond Road Household Recycling Facility for more triathlon, so tell me.
Yeah, Chair, very quickly, this is an annual request that comes in from the organisers of the Moran Triathlon, and this year they've asked for the council to consider a request to temporarily close that Household Recycling Centre to facilitate the triathlon on Saturday the 24th of August. So the specific times that they're seeking for to be closed is from 9:45 in the morning until 11:45 later on that morning on that Saturday, as they say. This is something we've done every year. That's what we're doing in second hour.
Okay, appreciate that.
Very
much. Okay. Move on then. The time is 18 to 23 basically, and Roland's going to take us through that.
Yes, items 18 to 23 are the ARC joint committee reports and updates, so we'll be taking a proposal for them to note all of them and list any specific matters that we must wish to raise.
So, Councillor Clark? Councillor Clark? Thank you for that. Okay. So we're moving on then to the Monday committee for the next items. So items 24, 25, 26, 27, 28 and 29 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of section 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland, 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. Okay, thank you. So, can I have a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please? Karen and Terry, order. Items from Art 21 Joint Committee Minutes, 28th of February 2019. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor McKee, it is agreed to note the end committee items from the ARC 21 Joint Committee Minutes of 28th of February 2019. Item number 25, and committee items from ARC 21 Joint Committee Minutes 28th of March 2019. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor McKee, it was agreed to note the in-committee items from the ARC 21 Joint Committee Minutes of 28th of March 2019. Item 26, and committee items from ARC 21 Joint Committee Minutes 25th of April 2019, on the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor McKee, it was agreed to note the in-committee items from the ARC 21 Joint Committee Minutes of 25th of April 2019. Item 27, emergency rights business case, on the proposal of Councillor McCabe, seconded by Councillor Stokes, it was agreed to note the content of the report dated 19th of June 2019 on associated business case and to grant retrospective approval to accept the conclusion of the emergency rights business case that option 1 is chosen as preferred option. Option 1 will see the appointment through a tender process of a competent contractor who will undertake the installation. Moving on to item 28, Household Recycling Centres Contracts Business Case. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor McKee, it was agreed to note the contents of the report dated 19th of June 2019 and associated business case and to approve the business case of paragraph 2.3 to enable the procurement of new service contracts for the council, HRCs and landfill sites. Item 29, Safety Ties Business Case, on the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Mason, it was agreed to note the content of the report dated 19th of June 2019 and associated business case and to accept the conclusion of the business case that option 2 is chosen as the preferred option. Option 2 will see the appointment through a tender process of a competent contractor who will remove the old safety tags and install web floor servicing at identified play areas as per specifications. Okay. Thank you very much for your patience. Thank you.
Thank you.